the thing. Most of us are chronically online, including myself. It's hard not to be these days, but studies have shown just how taxing a digital existence can be. Luckily for the folks in Northwest Ohio, there is an ever-present outlet for escaping the pull of our curated algorithms, our metro parks. I'm Erin Holden, editor-in-chief of the Toledo Free Press. Each week, I'll be shadowing a different person at various metro parks to see how they are taking advantage of our expansive park system. Whether you are a runner, bird watcher, fisherman, or a mom who just wants your kid to get some fresh air and exercise at the playground, our parks really present infinite possibilities for outdoor experiences. And that's what I'll be doing on this podcast, exploring those possibilities with local folks like you who use Metro Parks Toledo in your day-to-day lives. Because if you want to get away from your screens and back to nature, Toledo's public spaces really do make that a walk in the park. I've gone birding a few times with my family at McGee Marsh during the biggest week in American birding over the years. With my handy list of warblers in tow, I hovered behind the folks who knew what they were doing, and that paid off. It was an unexpected joy to be surrounded by so many tiny, colorful birds, even though catching a glimpse of them required quiet and stillness. I think that's part of the appeal. You have to just wander and wait until the moment they give you a hint as to their whereabouts. But I am definitely a novice. One of my issues is that I'll see a bird, then have a hard time relocating it with my borrowed binoculars. That's why, for this episode, I decided to meet up with two birders, both with much more experience than I have. We settled on Middle Grounds, the metro park across the river from Glass City. It stretches 1.5 miles along the Maumee River and is downtown, just by the Anthony Wayne Bridge. I was recently inspired by an article in the Kinfolk Travel Book about Londoners who are bringing birding to urbanites who might not otherwise give it a try. And I thought, what would it be like to go birding within one of the metro parks most associated with the more urban landscape? That's how I found myself speaking with Nate Kazicki, who has volunteered for many years at the Biggest Week in American Birding, but also works for Metro Parks Toledo. Incidentally, he also has a passion for promoting urban birding. Tell me a little bit more about your position here at the Metro Parks.
So I'm not necessarily an ornithologist. I'm more so just a guy who loves birds who got involved with the parks because of that.
Okay,
but
gotcha.
I've kind of grown into things like that from a young age. My interest peaked when I was probably 6 years old.
Yeah.
When I turned 9, that's when I discovered how globally important our area is for birds. And that got me involved to the point where I was guiding trips at 15 and up to this day doing some work for the parks on the side with birds. So I may not be an ornithologist, but it's nice to kind of have the name as, you know, a bird guy within the parks.
Yeah, so, a bird guy within the parks. I love it. Do you remember when you were a kid, what piqued your interest most about birding? Do you have some early memories you could share?
Well, we birders, what we have is a spark bird. So that's a bird that got us interested in birds
spark
in
bird.
General. Growing up, my favorite color was red, and I'm a huge Detroit Red Wings fan.
Okay.
And because of that, I think Northern Cardinal is the reason I got into birding. So that was my spark bird.
Mm-hmm.
So
beautiful.
I always hold a candle to that bird to this day, even though it's so common.
Yeah, even though they're common, I'm always excited to see a cardinal.
Yeah.
Just so pretty. How would you suggest someone like me like get started and get further into birding?
Well, this is a great time to really understand the diversity of what can come through Northwest Ohio.
Mm-hmm.
However, it can be a little overwhelming with how much can come through.
Yeah.
So my recommendation is always to start small. Mm-hmm. And then progress from there. We have parks that have windows on wildlife where the bird feeders are all behind the windows, so the birds will come to you. That's typically backyard birds, so the birds that aren't necessarily migratory, but they're here year-round and always eating whatever the feeders provide. That's a great way of getting involved and really nailing down those common species that you're going to find. Once you get to that point where you understand, okay, you know, there's a red-bellied woodpecker, there's a cardinal, there's a house sparrow. That's when you can really pinpoint, okay, I recognize those birds. Now it's time for me to focus on what comes through here seasonally.
Yeah.
Or what's here only in the summertime for breeding. Or in the wintertime with ducks out by the lakeshore.
Right. Yeah. And I've noticed with the windows on wildlife, there's a really handy list of the different birds and photos so that you can get to know them and know which ones are, like, you know, common to the area. Can you tell me more about, like, the Biggest Week in American Birding, your experience with that in general? Because I know that you volunteer for that, right?
I do,
okay.
Yes.
Yeah.
I started guiding for the Biggest Week back in 2015 for the Ohio Young Birders Club. There's a walk there that happens every year.
Okay.
In fact, last year, for the 2025 festival was the 10th year I did it in a row. I call it after that because I'm 26 now. I'm a little too old to be guiding those. But that now it's up to the kids who started in that club to really take over
So they lead it themselves. They take the initiative.
They
okay,
do.
Okay, cool.
Yeah. It's really refreshing to see because as a guide, you know, you're pointing out all the birds to people. But when the visitors point the birds out themselves and they're talking among themselves, and they have that dialogue, especially, you know, you have kids from 10-year-old kids to, you know, kids in high school, they're communicating about what kind of bird that is because they come from all different parts of the state to come here to view those birds.
Okay.
And you can just see them make friendships right in the moment right there. It's really cool.
Yeah.
And it was really great to be a part of that growing up.
That's really cool. Yeah. And since we're here in the middle of Toledo, we're in downtown Toledo at Middle Grounds, tell me about your passion for urban birding and making sure that birding is accessible to everyone, even if you're not going out to McGee Marsh, for instance.
That's a great point. The lakeshore is a huge reason why I got so invested in the spectacle of migration. And it's a great spot because you have almost everything out there with all those different habitats. What's so great about birding is it can be so subjective. Mm-hmm. As long as you're not doing anything to harm the birds or the habitat, you can bird in your backyard or you can you can go off into the wilderness somewhere in northern Michigan. It doesn't matter. As long as you're not being destructive, it's so subjective. So starting at places like Middle Grounds, which in my opinion is the quintessential urban green space. You have the waterfront here with the river, you have the woodlands, you have our little bioswale with some kind of grassy places. You have a lot of diversity in these small little areas within downtown Toledo.
Yeah.
So for as great as the lakeshore can be with volume of birds, you can still get those same species here. Maybe not as many. You might have to try a little harder, but I mean, on a great day, it's a great day. You feel like you're out at McGee, just in a smaller spot close to home.
Right. And have you been able to spread the word about how there are some urban spots that are good for birding here in Toledo?
Absolutely. There's a database called eBird where people submit their sightings. Wow. And what you can do is you can go online, go to eBird, and you can search up specific hot spots. This is what we call places like this. And people can see what's been seen here. People can look at bar charts of birds that have been here in the past and typically when they're here seasonally. So there's a lot of avenues you can take to find out what's here. But that's a great way to start online.
And
then the big thing is just getting here and seeing it for yourself.
Yeah. And what bird species do you find are most likely to thrive in an urban park like Middle Grounds and Glass City?
Well, at this time of year, a lot of migrant species, they have specific habitats up north where they breed.
By the way, it was early May when Nate and I spoke, just before the biggest week in American birding, just to give a little context about his reference to these migratory patterns.
Species, they don't need to establish territory yet. They just need to fuel up and almost double their body weight to continue up north.
Yeah.
So when it comes to specifics of birds here, like at Middle Grounds, with the woodlands, you can have the attractive species like the warblers and orioles and tanagers, the main birds that bring the people here. But then you can also take a look to your right and look for waterfowl on the water. Like this time of year, there's a really cool duck called a ruddy duck that comes through.
Okay.
Or some blueing teal. You know, mallards are so common, but it's really cool to see them on their nests and all that. So
there's a variety of things you could find here.
Yes.
And what about best times of day? If you wanted to like maximize your birding experience, what time should we show up here?
Typically, if you want to get the most diversity for your list, any time in the morning, probably before 10 a.m. So between sunrise and 10 a.m., that's when birds are most active. That's when they're all singing. That's when the air pressure is the lowest. But once the sun comes up, that's when they kind of start to slow down a bit with the heat and the air pressure. Evenings can be great too. Maybe not as productive as the morning, but if you go out late enough, you can still, you know, if you go out around 7 or 8, you can still get some warblers and songbirds, but once it turns dark, you know, maybe an owl or a woodcock will pop up.
And that also makes me think of if people want to see more of these birds stopping by at their home, what kind of plant should they be cultivating or letting thrive in their yard to make sure that it's bird friendly?
Well, in general, you're going to want native plants and native trees because kind of to that point, that's what's going to attract the native insects, which attracts the native birds. You know, everything is kind of connected in that way. Another way to bring birds to your yard, obviously, is to have bird feeders. Now, you may not get all the species that are insectivores, because typically you have different types of seeds in there.
Sure.
But a water feature too. Bird bath, if you put like a bubbler in there or you have a little water feature,
okay,
they love running water. You can attract almost anything with water.
Oh, cool.
So that's big too.
How do you see urban bird populations changing as cities continue to grow and develop?
It really depends on the space that you have and what you can do to conserve it. Let's say Glass City specifically. That was not a whole lot before Metro Parks took over. There was a lot of concrete on that ground, but now we have prairies and we planted some trees. And we've got indicator species like eastern meadowlarks, which is a grassland-type species that's trying to nest over there right now.
Mm-hmm.
So seeing the progression from when I started to now is completely different, but it's all for the better.
Yeah.
And the birds are responding to that.
Yeah.
And it's still continuing. What we have at Glass City isn't at its full potential yet. Like, it's still got time to keep growing and stuff
right,
like that.
Right, yeah. And Middle Grounds opened before Glass City Metro Park.
Well, admittedly, I wasn't here at the start of Middle Grounds, so this was already kind of established. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, it's got a lot of mature native trees over there.
Mm.
And they've implemented some bluebird boxes, too, that the tree swallows tend to take over. But every year, this time of year, it's still incredibly productive.
Mm-hmm.
My one coworker, Ben, he had a prothonotary warbler over here, which is typically a species you get out by the lakeshore. But he had one here, and it's just kind of a testament to how important stopover habitat like Middle Grounds can be, because it's established itself well enough to be that and maintain itself mm-hmm. in that regard.
I also find Middle Grounds to be very peaceful. Going for a walk here, you can sit by the water if you want. You see people fishing. You can also walk, you know, back there where it's more forested and like you said, the mature trees. So really enjoy this park a lot.
It's a great green space.
Yeah. So could you show me some, you know, places that would be good to see some birds in Middle Grounds?
Yeah, absolutely.
I'm originally from Louisiana, and we just saw a robin, and they're not even common where I'm from in Louisiana. I never saw any until I moved here.
Really?
Yeah, my dad said that he used to see them when he was growing up and just saw them less and less. So.
Well, it's amazing to see how different common species are so less common in other areas.
Yeah.
Like, for example, I haven't spent a whole lot of time southeast, but I understand there's a lot of mockingbirds down there.
Yes.
There's not a whole lot up here except in this specific spot.
Right.
But it's kind of interesting to see the difference in how mockingbirds to you guys are robins to us.
Right,
so that regional difference is really cool.
Trying to adjust my binoculars because that's always my struggle.
Oh, yeah, no, I get it. I the same way.
Oh, okay, that's better.
There was a yellow warbler singing over there. We can see one of those warblers. That'd be cool.
That would be really cool.
Let's see. There's a catbird singing to our left.
Oh.
That's a bird that's actually related to mockingbirds. They're in the mimic family. So they, as the name implies, they can mimic sounds in other birds.
Uh-huh.
For example, at Middle Grounds or Glass City, one of the mockingbirds does a really good car alarm in a cricket. So that kind of that cat-like sound is why it's called a catbird.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah. I hear that yellow warbler somewhere over there. I don't know exactly where he is, but listen for him one more time.
Yeah. Should we walk more this way or? Okay.
That sound right there, that kind of warble, I guess.
Uh-huh.
Thus the name warbler.
Yeah. All right.
Yeah, I can hear him right back in this corner. So if you keep going up a little bit, point the microphones that way.
Okay.
Hear another one there. This one just decided to stop talking.
Oh, yeah. Got shy when we approached.
Yeah. Got a goldfinch singing up here at the very end of the street.
Yeah, I think I spotted him.
Mm-hmm. So the one thing about goldfinches is a lot of people assume they leave in the wintertime, but they actually, instead of their bright yellow typically, they turn this olive greenish, olive brown.
Oh.
And so goldfinches are still here, but they just look completely different. And a lot of birds are like that. In the fall, a lot of the warblers that we have are going to look completely different too. Because they lose those bright colors that they need to attract a mate, because they just don't need it anymore seasonally. They turn different shades of brown and gray and muted colors from their original
mm-hmm.
alternate plumage, as we call it.
I had no idea that they changed color like that. That's
mm-hmm.
really neat.
Maybe walk up a little further. I hear another warbler.
Oh, this is such a pretty path too.
Mm-hmm.
really
Yeah, some peaceful. Great trails back here.
Uh-huh.
What's nice about it is there's not too many trails either. It's pretty much a straight shot back there with about a loop or two, and then you can head right back, and it makes it for a nice little walk in the park, literally.
Yeah. I swear we didn't coach Nate to plug the title of our program, A Walk in the Park, but that was perfect.
That's a house sparrow. So house sparrows are actually an invasive species from Europe. The problem is they are cavity nesters too, and them and European starlings, both being introduced species, competing with native species for cavities, they did a big number on bluebird populations.
Mm-hmm.
But since people started incorporating bluebird boxes, bluebirds have really sprung up from what they once were from a population standpoint.
So at the metro parks, that was a big push to try to get bluebirds back, is putting out these boxes?
Yes, they do nest monitoring each year for every box in the metro parks.
Okay, yeah. Well, thank you so much for showing me around.
Absolutely.
This has been a joy. Yeah,
great time. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, it's good to meet you.
Yep, you too.
To continue my foray into urban birding at Middle Grounds, I was joined by Chuck Stein, who often finds himself birding in this park, an easy trek since he lives downtown. Middle Grounds happens to be his favorite park for birdwatching. Hey, Chuck.
How's it going?
So good. How are you? Thanks for joining me.
Oh, thank you for having me. This is very exciting.
Middle Grounds, yeah. So, like, how did you get started with your adventures in birding?
So, it all started, my girlfriend's sister made a documentary that premiered during the biggest week of American birding out at Maumee Bay. And I didn't know anything about birds. I didn't care about birds, but we went in support to go watch, and I came out of the experience a whole different person. It was all about warblers because that's, you know, the main bird that comes in for the biggest week.
Yeah,
everyone wants to see the warblers. And I was just blown away at these little creatures flying from South America up to Canada.
Isn't that crazy?
And making a pit stop right here.
Yeah, what a journey. If you're also wondering, the documentary Chuck's referring to is Flight Path, The World of Migratory Birds. It's a WGTE PBS documentary from 2019. So what birds have you seen here that have either surprised you or that you get most excited to see?
Ruby-crowned kinglet. I saw that just a couple weeks ago. That was pretty exciting. A lot of warblers stopped through here. Yellow-rumped, a lot of yellow warblers. But I think the coolest bird that I saw here is my favorite bird, the indigo bunting. Beautiful blue. It looks like a blue raspberry lollipop,
I like to say. Oh,
wow. Yeah.
I don't think I've ever seen one of those.
Keep your eyes out. Yes. They're around here.
Do you have any advice for birders who are just starting out? I mean, like, equipment-wise, I borrowed these binoculars. I mean, what do you need to go birding?
Don't need the fanciest equipment. Okay. You don't need the most expensive binoculars. Just use what you have, and if you can borrow a pair, great. Mm-hmm. And just go outside and listen, you know, learn the noises, learn the songs that the birds are making. And Merlin is a great app. I don't know if you have that one.
I don't have it, but my husband does, I think.
Yeah, you walk outside, you start recording, it'll tell you every single bird that you're hearing based on the calls that they're doing. Get that, just go outside, borrow a pair of binoculars if you don't have one, and just start.
Yeah.
You know, that's the best advice I could give. There might be something in this tree right here. I can't say
for
sure. And the best part about birding is looking for the actual birds. They are fast, and they are small, and they're quick. And we're gonna get out our Merlin app. Probably a northern yellow warbler. Oh yeah, there's a little guy right there hopping around. What is that?
One thing that I've struggled with, frankly, with birding is I'll see one in the branches, and I'm like, I'm trying to follow it with my binoculars, and then I get completely lost. I'm like, where did it go?
Yeah, after a little
while, you
start to get pretty good at just being able to point the binoculars up and look and catch it right away. Oh, what are you up there? It's Merlin telling me. Oh, what's in that tree right now is a warbling vero. Very cool to see.
Mm.
One of the migrating birds. Yeah, I'm hearing a lot of yellow warblers.
Okay.
That deet, 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 deet.
Mm-hmm.
That's a yellow warbler.
Oh, that's their sound. Do you find that there are any misconceptions about birding that you've run into before?
I mean, a lot of people like to think it's an old person thing to do.
Yeah.
Which, of course, any hobby has its age ranges. And yeah. I know a lot of younger people are starting to get into birding now. You know, you go on Instagram, and if you look up birding, you're going to see a bunch of memes. You're going to see a bunch of reels that people are making, TikToks and things like that.
Right.
So it's definitely a whole age range of people that enjoy doing it. It's not just for the elderly. Everybody should do it.
Yeah. Well, it's nice to get out in nature. And just,
oh, yeah.
Right. I know we have a lot of amazing opportunities to see birds here in the city, but where would you want to travel to see birds if you could go anywhere in the world? Do you have any goals in that way?
Honestly, the American South, like going down to Florida, even out west, there's a lot of birds out there. I would love to see a painted bunting.
Is that in Florida?
Mostly in Florida.
Okay.
And in Mexico. There's a lot in Mexico. But yeah, really the American South and West, I would say, are my spots that I really want to hit.
Yeah, very cool.
Oh, there's something in the tree right there. What do we got? It was up in that, do you see it? On the tree right behind these two, like three trees in on the side there.
Okay. Three trees in.
So do you see that tree where there's a branch sticking up?
That one?
Yeah.
Okay.
See that little guy right there pecking away?
Oh, I see him now. I see him. Okay.
No, I think that's a Tennessee warbler.
Oh.
Yeah.
I'm sure for people who are, they kind of have a collector's spirit about them. It's
absolutely.
Like fun to check off a list of things. Like
absolutely.
Finding the birds.
I do feel that way. I do feel like, though, I don't want to have a checklist. You know, I don't ever want to be done.
Okay.
I don't ever want it to be complete.
Okay.
So I like to write down when I saw the bird and where.
Uh-huh.
And then if I see it again, whole new day, whole new location.
Right, right. So you like to just show up and listen and see what you find, and you're not out to, like, find a certain one.
Yeah, I'm not
you're
on just any mission to see every bird, you
right.
know.
Right.
I like to see what I see, and if I see them all, I'll just see them all again.
Yeah, yeah, I like that. Whatever you see, you see.
A lot of people are very into the wanting to see everything.
Yeah.
But I don't know. I just like to stroll along, look at what's in my backyard.
Right. What's the coolest bird that you've ever seen in your actual backyard or your actual, like, just outside of where you live downtown?
Catty corner to Fifth Third
Field.
Yeah,
okay.
So I do see a lot of mud hens.
Uh-huh. Madonna.
Yes. Oh, gosh.
Right,
I mean,
there
if we're counting here, Middle Grounds, the Indigo Bunting for sure, and the Baltimore Oriole.
Yeah.
There is a very cool spot over by Maumee Bay called Mallard Marsh, where I did see a couple sandhill cranes. That was very cool.
Oh, very cool. Yeah. Are those kind of rare, the sandhill cranes, to see?
They're uncommon,
okay.
I'll say. You don't really see them. That was the only place I've ever seen them in Northwest Ohio.
Uh-huh.
When did you start your birding adventure?
I mean, really, I've only gone a few times out to McGee Marsh, and it's been a few years since I've gone. But, you know, this makes me think that it doesn't have to be a big trip, and I need to just take these binoculars with me anytime I'm at one of the metro parks. So.
Like, you could bird from your kitchen or living room if you really wanted to.
Yes.
Put a couple feeders out. It's excellent.
Yeah. Okay, should we keep walking through here?
Yeah. Let's check it out. Let's see what else
we can
find. This is such a dense little spot, though, so it's really hard to spot where the birds are.
Right.
You can hear them very well.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, it's telling me there's a Baltimore Oriole around.
Oh.
That is one of my favorites, too.
Oh, yeah.
Have you ever seen one in person?
I don't think I have.
All right, we got to find it.
Think about it.
Where are you seeing this guy at? I know.
The tree behind the tree.
The tree behind the tree.
Right. It's always kind of hilarious when someone's trying to point out the location of a bird when the only markers are trees. Oh.
In one of these. That's a woodpecker. But where is it?
Oh, I hear him.
Yeah. He's trying to give himself away. Sounds like a downy woodpecker.
So that noise is the woodpecker?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Nice.
gore.
That's huge. All right, let's see if we can find this Oriole.
Nice. Is that an Oriole?
Nope, that is a American goldfinch.
Okay.
Very cool bird nonetheless.
Yeah.
Love the colors on it.
Oh my gosh. Yeah, that yellow is so pretty.
Yeah.
Against the black.
It's so cool that it's just on the ground right in front of us.
Oh, there it is. Okay. Yeah, wow.
There's something in the tree right there. Oh. Yeah, we got a yellow warbler right there on that little tiny branch. Mm-hmm. If you just scan up.
Yeah, it looks right. The one that just moved down a branch?
Yep.
Yeah. That one, I couldn't even see the yellow. Okay, there he goes. Wow. Nice.
Goldfinch is gone.
Yeah, that goldfinch was cool.
Yeah, normally the Oriole is kind of in this spot.
Okay.
So maybe we'll see him as we're walking back. Do you have a favorite bird?
I don't know. I don't know if I do. I do always enjoy seeing a red cardinal.
Okay.
But I don't know a ton of birds, so it's kind of hard for me to say.
Oh.
I do enjoy the warblers.
I will say another one that I've always wanted to see is a hooded warbler.
Okay.
It's all yellow and it has a black hood, essentially.
Okay, yeah. Do you ever see eagles out here?
I've seen a couple bald eagles.
Really? Okay. Oh, yeah. Is that a cardinal?
Looks like a cardinal.
Oh,
sure,
yeah,
is.
Yeah, it is. Nice.
A northern
beautiful
cardinal. Beautiful. There he goes. A little cardinal.
Mm-hmm. Are there any other metro parks that you would like to do more birding in that you haven't experienced?
I would like to get out to Pearson more often.
Okay,
it's not too far.
Right.
And it's a nice hot spot. They have that window to wildlife,
mm-hmm,
you know. I went out there on one of the freezing days just to see what was going on, and there was a lot of activity, surprisingly.
The windows on wildlife in the winter, that's such a nice thing to do.
It was
just to still be able to see the birds in the winter.
You're nice and warm.
Yeah.
They're all outside, all puffy.
Yes. And it's so quiet.
Yeah.
Snow.
Pearson, definitely oak openings more.
Yeah.
I mean, we have so many metro parks. Mm-hmm. It's like, why not try to take advantage of all of them?
Right. Okay. Well, thank you for meeting me out here.
Absolutely. Thank you for having me.
Thanks for showing me around.
This has been a great birding experience.
Yeah. Thanks so much.
Spending time with Nate and Chuck in this urban oasis made me think more about my approach to birding. I hadn't considered my own backyard as a spot to bird because I've always felt like I needed to go somewhere far away to engage in the activity. I also think I need to take a page from Chuck's book, not trying to check bird sightings off on a list, but just keeping a little journal about what I happened to see. With nature, you can't rely on what is supposed to happen. There's a certain acceptance involved in observing, recording, and being grateful for what's in your own backyard. Speaking of, my husband spends a lot of time in our backyard hammock using his Merlin app, and I think I'll join him today with my newfound appreciation of birding in the middle of Toledo. I'd like to thank my guests for joining me on today's episode. Thanks as well to our production team, M.R. Herner and Chris Pfeiffer. And a special thanks to Scott Carpenter of Metro Parks Toledo. A Walk in the Park With is a collaboration between Metro Parks Toledo and WGTE Public Media. You can find our episodes at wgte.org/walkinthepark or wherever you get your podcasts. I'm your host and producer, Aaron Holden. Thanks for listening, and I'll see you next time.